Welcome to the Essential Shift Podcast. My name is Laetitia Andrac. If you're a mission-driven entrepreneur looking to grow your soul-aligned business by blending strategy, practical tips, and spiritual wisdom, you're in the right place. Enjoy these conversations about the art of mastering essential shifts in all areas of business and life. Open your heart and mind to all the possibilities that are waiting for you. Welcome to episode 125 of the Essential Shift Podcast. Today, I am so honored to welcome an extraordinary guest to the show, Kate Toon. Kate and I met in person at my book launch in Sydney, and it was delightful. Just a wonderful human who makes you laugh. She's so cynical, but at the same time, she's exploring more and more her spiritual self. As she says, she's climbing down the mountain of a highly successful business with good grace as she chooses the path of joy and least resistance. This conversation is full of gold. Please do enjoy listening to it. Before you go, let me introduce you to Kate. Kate is not just an award-winning entrepreneur. She's also a mentor to thousands, helping them shape the digital marketing world from her backyard shed on the central coast of New South Wales. And she recently bought a bookstore in Umina. I can't wait to go and visit it. And Kate's journey is nothing short of remarkable. She's born in the UK and in 2022, she was named Australia's most influential small business woman. Not bad, right? And beyond titles, Kate's passion is for education, and she founded CopyCon and the Digital Marketing Collective Conference and many other things. And as this podcast will be live on the 2nd of April, Kate and I will be together at a conference. I can't wait to hug her again in person. She brings a unique blend of seriousness about her business, but also this light-heartedness about life. I'm sure you're going to love this podcast where we have an honest and humble conversation about what it is and what it takes to run a successful business for decades and how to be a mother as you run this business. And even if you're not a parent, I'm sure you're going to relate to some of our conversation. Kate is also the author of Six Figure in School Hours, her book, which we mentioned, and she is just releasing very soon her brand new book. So you're going to hear all of that in this conversation. So without further ado, I leave you to this conversation with Kate Toon on the Essential Shift Podcast. Kate, thank you so much again for joining me on this conversation. And before you go, please subscribe to this podcast, share it with a friend, leave a review. This helps us more than anything you can think about to reach new ears and impact new hearts. Thank you so much again. Hello, Kate. So nice to have you on the Essential Shift Podcast.
Oh, it's lovely to be here. I feel that by the end of this episode, I'm going to be doing your accent because I adore it. I'm going to be like, oh, hello, it's so beautiful. Mon Dieu. Oh, God.
Thank you for that. You know, my daughters were both born in Australia. They have such a thick Australian accent when they speak French. It's so interesting. I don't know if it's the same thing with your boy, if he has a thick Australian accent or if he has your UK accent.
He's very British, but his father is French. So he speaks a little bit of French, but he's got quite a good accent, actually. He's very oi, 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 you know.
Okay, let's get into it, Kate. So for the listener, we don't know you. I have introduced you at the beginning of the podcast. But what I always love to do is ask the first question around, who are you as a human being, energetically, emotionally, spiritually? Can you share a bit about you?
Oh, this podcast is going to be so challenging for me. I am a woman, a mum, a daughter, and energetically, you know, I like to pretend that I'm a bit of a dark soul, but I do wonder if that's true as time goes on. I've often seen myself as a bit of an outsider, but I think there's a lot of us outside, to be honest. Maybe there's more of us outside than inside. I think I'm I like to take my business seriously, but not take myself too seriously. I'm still working out how to be a human. I'm not sure I've got all the answers yet.
I love that. And thank you for your honesty. This is always so refreshing, your honesty. And I know I love that about you, Kate. And definitely in the entrepreneurial sphere, a lot of us are rebel or different. We don't fit in a box because actually we didn't really fit in the corporate box. Would you like to share with us your origin story? Because I love when you share how you started your own business, and then we'll go through where you are at now. But how did you start it? Because you started with a corporate role, like many of us, as corporate dropout. But how did you start it that?
Yeah, so I worked in advertising for many years, events and then advertising. And yeah, I think I don't have objectional defiance disorder, but I really don't like being told what to do by anybody. And I don't know what that is. I just sort of think I know better, which is terrible because I obviously don't. Do you know what I mean? I certainly didn't in my 20s. I didn't know what I was doing. So I've always struggled to have bosses, and I also struggle to be a boss. You know, I don't like having to motivate people and set KPIs and all of that. I'm a doer. I like to just get on with stuff. So yes, I didn't really fit the mold, but I saw no way out. I'm not a risk taker. I was the primary breadwinner, but then I got pregnant, and I'd been told I wouldn't be able to get pregnant. So it was a big shock and a sign from the gods. And I thought, this is the kind of mum I want to be, and this is the kind of life I want. And it does not involve commuting to an advertising agency and working 10-hour days on pitches. So I gave up my proper job when I was 5 months pregnant and started freelancing, doing all manner of things, but then edging into copywriting and SEO. And that was kind of the first 5 years of my business.
Thank you for sharing that, because many of us, the journey through matrescence is actually a big shift for many women in business. So matrescence is when you, for anyone who doesn't know that, matrescence is a moment where you become a mother.
Oh, and there is a
shift.
New word.
Sorry?
It's a new word for me. I didn't know that.
Matrescence. Okay. I have a few blog. I train quite well on SEO with that word. So it's a moment where your hormones shift, but also your values, your sense of purpose, your sense of belonging. And for many of us, it's a moment, if you haven't had this moment before in your life through health or through family stuff happening, where you really reconsider everything and you review your business, you review your life, you review your career. And I know certainly for me, my burnout was my first call out around, you need to change things deeply in your life. But my second call out was when I became a mom. And I know many women start their own business when they become mother. So it's kind of a beautiful moment of questioning and embracing your own path. Would you say, Kate, that you trust your intuition in business, or would you say you use most the rational brain?
Great question. No, I think I go with my guts. So when all the evidence suggests that something isn't going to work, I can just feel in my bones that it is. And there've been a number of proof points in that. When I started my SEO course, you know, I was one of the only female SEOs in Australia. There's lots now, which is great to see. And everyone told around me said, you can't teach SEO. It changes too much, it's too technical. And I just knew that I could, and that's proven right. My book, my most recent book, you know, got rejected by a few publishers, but then I just knew it was a good idea. People are like, there's no audience for it. And it's like, yes, there is. And so, yeah, I would say I go with my gut. I'm not very data driven. I seek evidence from humans, not necessarily data, if that makes sense. But
yes, it does.
Very guided by, as I said, I think I know better than everybody else. So I think that's my intuition is very confident. I may not be confident, but my intuition is.
Definitely. And this is, you know, what you describe is definitely a deep intuitive. You are a deep intuitive person. And I know you're quite new to the spiritual world, the woo-woo world. You were, you know, as we met in person and we love to chat, and you're very cynical. You're such a fun human being, but at the same time, you open yourself to spirituality. Would you like to share a bit more about your journey? Is there any moments where you're like, ooh, I'm open to that now?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you're probably the most woo-woo person I know. And I love talking to you because it opens up your eyes, doesn't it? I think, you know, my dad was very black and white, very science motivated. I've never had religion in my life. You know, I'm not, that's not necessarily spirituality, but you know, my partner is big into Buddhism and I've been on a number of retreats and they definitely cause shifts in me. You go quiet for 10 days, certainly teaches you a thing or two. But I think I'm British, you know, we cover up our trauma and our emotion with sarcasm. And that gets you quite a long way, but it doesn't get you all the way there. And it becomes a bit wearying after a while to just be relentlessly cynical and sarcastic. I'm just honestly a bit tired of it. So I do think I am embracing my woo-woo. The universe has been very kind to me, and I have to acknowledge that. I can't keep on pretending it's all me. I've been very lucky. I think I put out good vibes and they mostly come back. There's always one rotten egg. And we focus on that rotten egg. So yes, I think I'm shifting. And I, you know, you talked about matriescence. Is there a word for the end of matriescence? Like when you're moving into menopause and all of that, my role and my purpose and my definition of myself is shifting again now. And I'm not sure what the future holds for me. And that's a bit exciting, but a bit scary.
Yes, so we have a word for that. So around the cycle as a woman, you have the maiden phase, then you have the mother phase, which you shift when you move through matrescence, and then you have the MAGA phase, and then the crone phase. So right now you're in the MAGA phase.
Not crone.
Yes.
Crone, as in old crone.
Yeah, but you can call it sagescence, if that's helpful. So Jane Herbert Collins,
like
call it sagescence, if you prefer, and crone. Sagescence is beautiful.
That. Yeah. Crone makes me think of some old woman in a shroud.
Yeah, I love the crone phase, like the gray hair and the wise woman with sharing her wisdom, sitting with us.
Embrace your crone. Be more crone. There we go. That's my hashtag from now on.
But right now, you're potentially in your MAGA phase, which is really this moment where you have kids who are grown up and it's your time to teach, stepping into the teacher. And you embody that so much. For me, you're a big teacher, and especially witnessing how you shifted, which is my next question, how you shifted from having this outside look from your business, being like, oh my gosh, Kate has it all. She has such a big business with a big team, big product, big offering. And you went through a big shift last year. And maybe it's linked to you, you know, menopause and all of that, or premenopause, which is really this MAGA phase, you know, coming in. So do you want to share with us the coming down of the mountain, or this moment that you were like, oh, that's nice view, but actually I don't want that anymore, because I think this is so courageous.
Yeah, I think, well, there is a term called summit syndrome, where you get to your imagined top of the mountain and you've achieved everything you were hoped to achieve, and you're kind of looking from the top and the view looks good, but it's like, you know, what do you do next? Do you create another summit, or do you climb back down? So yes, I kind of think about climbing down the mountain. It's actually something I might want to work on for my next book. But I'm on number two at the moment. It's absolute torture. I think you set these goals, you know, I want to make $1 million, and then you make $1 million and it's like, oh, all right, that's great, but it doesn't, you know, it doesn't change my life as much as I thought it was, or the things that I could change don't mean that much to me. I'm not a buyer of Louboutins. I'm not somebody who needs expensive things, and I don't frown upon people who are, but that's not me. So therefore, endlessly earning money to replace my line is, you know, I'm replacing perfectly good cushions with new cushions. It's just pointless, right? And so then I kind of went down an ego route of wanting to be maybe a bit famous, and I was speaking at events all over the world, but it just totally messed with my adrenals. You know, it's the whole, I'm pretty introverted, so to force myself to be extroverted, you have to drink alcohol, and your cortisol levels go up, and it just wasn't for me either. I missed my family. And then you're like, maybe it's adoration, getting testimonials, having good vibes. But after all said and done, you know, who cares about any of it? You know, you want to live a eulogy life, not a CV life, you know, and that's what I'm getting back to. Now, that is from a very smug perspective of having ticked off a lot of my goals. So, you know, I'm talking from in a different viewpoint. And, you know, I'm not saying any of those goals are valid and they were all right for me at the time. But now I'm just like, what am I doing? What's it all for? And it's a bit of an existential question. And I don't want to navel gaze too much, because I think I would fall into my own belly button and never get back out again. But it is a big shift. And I'm lost a little bit at the moment. And it's scary, but interesting.
I think it's very interesting, because it's actually this moment in spirituality, which we call the moment of finding your next vision, your vision quest, and going inward and, you know, going by yourself in the world and not eating for 3 days, potentially for a pure vision
oh,
quest.
I'd love to do that. I'm going to go. Yeah. There's not much wild around you, Minor, but I could, yeah, I could do that in my back garden, maybe.
It's no, real wild. But it's those moments where you're really reconnecting with your own vision and what's next. Because often what's happening is in our, you know, early 20s, 30s, we take on other people's goals.
Yes.
And that's part of the journey of maiden and mother. And then when you enter MAGA phase, or some of us enter it a bit earlier, thanks to the spiritual work and the journey and all of that, we're like, okay, what's my true vision? Mm-hmm. And going on this vision quest is actually very powerful, because then you create what's really unique to you and your legacy, which is what you said, you know, I don't want to be judged by my CV, but my eulogy. I think it's so beautiful how you put it. You have like a way with word, honestly, Kate. You are the best copywriter I know.
I also give credit, though. I don't think that's mine. I think I heard it on a podcast. I love this layer of spirituality and meaning that you're putting on top of my kind of rational journey, because it all makes sense. I mean, I think you get to this stage and, you know, you call it the MAGA stage. I call it the giving less F stage. Mm. Do you know what I mean? You've spent your whole life thinking, oh, I want to get married and have kids and buy a house and then have a job and do this and please my parents and get a pat on the bottom. And then you're like, for what? No one's sitting, no one cares. Do you know what I mean? No one really cares about all your achievements and the things you've done. And therefore they meet, you need to care. And then you have this awful moment where you go, oh my God, I don't care either. And all these things that I thought were so important are just not that important to me. I'm on the vision quest. I'm going
to
go.
You are on a vision quest. And you really embody this MAGA phase, which is, if you link it to the season, it's a harvest. It's when actually you're harvesting. So you planted the seeds during your maiden phase, which was the spring. You like watch the full bloom, very busy mothering, which is very active, during the summer phase of your life, which is mother. And then the MAGA phase is a harvest, which is about stepping back, looking, collecting, harvesting, and, you know, questioning, what do I want to harvest today? What do I want to put my energy to harvest? Because harvesting is still, you know, requires effort to harvest, but it's there. It's all there for you to collect, and you get to pick and choose.
You want to gather all that up before you become a crone in your winter phase.
In your winter phase. Crone is winter, which is very powerful as well, because winter things are happening underneath the surface. And this is when you share your wisdom with others for them to plant their seed, and the cycle continues.
I'm going to be so woo by the end of this podcast. You're not going to know me. I tell you, this is amazing.
I love it. So in my book, Lighted, I speak about the light bulb moments. So those moments, which other people may call fucked up moments, but they're actually moments where you really re-question yourself, re-question your business. Did you have any moments like this in your business journey? And I know you had many reading your book. I highly recommend anyone listening to this podcast to read Kate's book. We'll talk about it at the end. But really, those moments where you're like, oh my gosh, this is a big fucked up moment, but actually it's a big light bulb moment. Would you like to share with anyone to inspire them?
Yeah, I've had two. The first one makes me sound like an utter, I hope I can say wanker, but I'm going to say it anyway. So you
do
might
it.
Have to figure that out. It was when, I think it was a couple of years ago, and I sold out my SEO course in 8 hours. And so in one day, I made $160,000, which to some entrepreneurs might be nothing, but to me it was more than I had earned in the previous year, 2 years, I think.
Yeah.
And it just felt surreal, and it didn't hit home, and it was weird. And I, you know, closed the site down, and then I emptied the dishwasher, you know, and it was just this complete moment of anticlimax and oddness. Obviously it changed my life in many ways, financial security and whatever, but the moment itself was wholly unsatisfying. So that was one. And then another, I think, has been a gradual shift. I worry a lot, or I did worry a lot, about what other people think of me and what other people are doing. And so, you know, I'll see other entrepreneurs online, you know, they're running a retreat in Bali, or they're speaking at this event, or they're doing this and it all looks fabulous. And, you know, for a long time, I've kind of watched from the sidelines, gnashing my teeth, going, why aren't I having that? And then, over the recent years, I've really managed to shift and go, A, it's probably not true. A lot of what we see on social media isn't true. B, even if it is true, do I really, really want that? Do I want that? Do I want to be running a retreat in Bali? No, I don't. I'm introverted. I couldn't stand to do 4 days of talking to people. I would hate it. You know, do I want to have photo shoots where I'm blowing confetti? No, it's not me. So while a part of me wants that, it's like the part of you that wants to be popular and be in with the in crowd, when you know that you wouldn't enjoy it, I think I've become a bit more real about recognizing when my ego or my weird part of me is wanting things that don't serve me. Does that make sense? That was a babble. I hope it made sense.
No, it makes complete sense. And know that this is really this shift back into alignment and really honoring your own truth and your own intuition and what you really want to go after. And we all have those moments. I had those moments when I, you know, jumped out of Telstra as a GM and started this business. I thought initially that, you know, I wanted to earn this much money and impact this many people and do all these things. And actually now I'm like, I'm so good. I just want to work less, run, you know, this business in my own way, impact the right people. And I don't care if people are like, oh my gosh, she's so strategic and woo, I don't even see where she plays. I don't care. You're not my people. So it's real, like owning that. And we had a conversation today around, so it's so funny, the synchronicity I noticed, because intuition is also coming through synchronicities like this. I was talking with someone in my team this morning. I was like, oh my gosh, we need to do an anti campaign from those people who are like walking down the, you know, the Louis Vuitton shop and the Chanel bag. I used to work for Chanel in Paris. I have plenty of Chanel bags. I don't even use them. If someone wants them, you can. I even try sell my Louboutin shoes on, you know, high-end group, Facebook group and things like that. I'm like, I don't care about this anymore. What I care about is spending time, quality time. And I know you don't like quality time, but for me, quality time is sitting with my daughter and playing board game. So quality time with my daughters and just having fun and walking my dog and just doing simple thing, going in the Royal National Park and camping in the wild under the full moon. Yeah. That's what I want.
I'm the same. I don't not like quality time. I think people think quality time is what it isn't. You know, quality time is taking your kid to the zoo and spending a lot of money on them and having a stressful day that no one really enjoys. For me, all time is quality.
Exactly.
So as you've said, some of the best times are just going to Coles with my son and talking crap as we wander down the shampoo aisle. It may not be something that you can put on Instagram, but it is, it's better and more quality. And this is it. Like, you know, I went to an event with entrepreneurs and one of them was like, you know, I like expensive things and I like travel. And there's nothing wrong with that. I have in my life enjoyed expensive things and I'm not going to judge old me. But in this phase of my life, you know, the joy of just pottering around, having my dog walk, having a coffee, sitting at my desk, talking to nice people like you, finishing at 3, you know, what, making a nice dinner, hanging out with my son and watching Netflix. I love that. And I've said to people, I just want that day after day after day, no drama. And I've said this before, it's become a bit of a cliche, but I think we often mistake stress for excitement and we often mistake contentment for boredom, you know? And I tell you, I'd rather be bored every day than have the constant up and down and the thrill of this and that. It just does not work for me anymore. I'm too tired.
Yeah, and this is a dopamine hit that a lot of people are searching, but actually we live on a society with too much dopamine. And there is this beautiful book, if you haven't read it, sorry for anyone who is not watching this, but it's called Flourish. It's so the author is Antonia Keys, and she writes a beautiful magazine called Womankind, a bit spiritual. And I went to her book launch. I met her in person. I love her work. She has another magazine, which is called New Philosopher, which I really love if you're into philosophy. It's a bit of a philosophical book, but it's all of that. It's how we need to step away from the dopamine. And I'm not interested in the dopamine. I burnt out when I was in strategy consulting. I just want a peaceful, easy, slow fucking life. That's what I want.
Fucking was important. Well, I think it's shifting from dopamine to serotonin. There's another great book called Dopamine Nation by Anna Lemke, which is all about, you know, this, it's the sub is finding balance in an age of indulgence. You know, we're in this culture where it's Amazon Prime, binge the show, have things Uber Eats delivered within 2 minutes. And we, you know, we've lost the struggle, the joy of the struggle, and the joy of the, you know, just keep swimming. And the serotonin, you know, in the whole dose neurology, whatever, dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, and endorphins. I'll go for oxytocin and serotonin all the time. And then endorphins, I don't think you can go for. They are a result of oxytocin and serotonin. And I think that's a big shift that I've had. This not immediate pleasure, this immediate affirmation. Yesterday, though, the t-shirt, I totally went for dopamine. I needed it. I needed a little something, something. I got the new cover for my new book. And I haven't finished the book. And my rule is you're not allowed to get the reward for doing something just by announcing it. You have to finish it. Like, you know, people are like, I'm going to launch a podcast. And everyone's like, yeah, you. And they're like, yeah, thanks, thanks. They haven't done anything. They haven't done anything yet. But I did share my cover in the book and I got all these comments and it felt great. And then I was like, oh God, I haven't even finished it. So yeah.
You will finish it. You're so good at this. I can't wait to see the cover. Where has it been shared? I want to see it.
Oh no, it's just in my private group because I'm going to have a bit of a, I'm not going to share it publicly until I've finished it. That's my reward. That's my carrot on my
stick. Okay, I'll wait for that then. but this is beautiful because you're actually helping me shift into the book writing and, you know, your legacy and all of that. So do you want to share with us about your own journey and why did you write one book? Why are you writing a second book? And why are you even thinking already about a third book? Because I just finished writing my first one and I'm still, you know, it's like a baby crawling.
Still recovering.
So
yeah.
I'm not ready yet to write the next one, but I'm so ready for you to write a second one. So can you guide us through this, you know, why writing books? When we know writing book is definitely not a money-making activity, people. So if you're like, oh my gosh, I can't do this, books, just watch out for this.
Yes.
But it's
very
awesome.
Expensive. It's an indulgence, you know.
Yeah.
Look, it's I've written several books before this book. So I wrote a book of poetry, I wrote a illustrated kids book, and I also wrote a previous business book called Confessions of a Misfit Entrepreneur. So I have some legacy. I think, you know, when we talk about identity, I've always wanted to be a writer. That's really who I want to be. That's who I imagine myself being. That's my dream. Obviously, I would love, well, not obviously, but I would love to write novels, historical fiction, all that kind of stuff. But for the time being, I have money to make. So I will put my superpower to books. I have been a copywriter for years. So writing comes easier to me than most people. I'm good with deadlines. I'm good with structure and I'm very motivated. I'm able to force myself to write the book. Why did I write Six Figures in School Hours? Look, I'll be honest. I felt like it was a good idea because as many books I could write, but a book that would sell and a book that would resonate is a different thing. And I wanted a book that would sell. I wanted a book that would go into bookshops. I wanted to have my airport bookshop moment. That's what I wanted. So a little bit less, you know, about helping people, but the result of my cynical wanting my airport bookshop moment, my, you know, selfish, has become an absolute altruism feast. The number of messages and comments I get back from people that say, this book has changed my life, that it's become into this beautiful thing that I mean, I knew it was a germ of that, but it wasn't my intention. So it's funny how when your intention evolves, it becomes something else. I'm babbling again, but yeah, now it's helping people and that's rather lovely and connecting me with an audience that I didn't have previously. And as you said, wise old crone passing on ideas to younger cronelets further down the journey, you know?
Yeah, it's beautiful. And can you tell us what your next book is about or is it spoiling alert?
No, it's about, it's really about passive income, which I know is a bit of a bleh. Not through shares or rental or anything like that, but through taking your skills and your services and turning them into products that can be sold one to many rather than one to one. So yeah, it's really for anybody really. So, it could be not even a business owner. Maybe you're really good at crochet or maybe you love baking cakes. How can you take your skill that you love and turn it into something that makes you money without having to work one-on-one with people, being able to sell it one to many? So yeah, that's the gist of it.
Amazing. I can't wait to hear the title and see the cover. So now we are closing this podcast. Before I invite you to share how people can connect with you and so on, I always love to ask fire chat question. So please don't think, just come up with the word that comes up to you. You're ready? It's only five questions.
Okay,
because I work on five. It's my life pass number.
Okay.
You're ready?
Yeah.
So intuition is?
Going with your gut.
Strategy is?
Boring and usually unimplementable.
gosh, I need to change that for you. Business is?
Exhausting and delicious.
Something I wish I knew sooner is?
Stop trying to be what you're not.
And something I want to share with everyone.
It's my mantra, which is the world will wait. I think one of the biggest issues with the world is people just are impatient. Again, that dopamine thing. And yes, you really have everything you want. It just take a bit longer than you thought it would.
I love that, Kate. So for anyone who listened to this podcast and like, ooh, I want to immerse myself more into Kate's Toon world, in the Tooniverse. I love how you call that. So how can they find out about you? How can they connect with you?
Well, I hope I haven't put everybody off, but if you are interested, you can go to katetoon.com or just Google Kate Toon. Thankfully, my background is SEO, so I should be relatively easy to find. And then you can venture into my many different worlds.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful world to be in. I highly recommend anyone listening to this podcast and loving her authentic, genuine, contrarian voice to jump in and enter the Tooniverse. You won't regret it. Thank you so much, Kate, for coming today.
Merci. It's been formidable. Oh,
a plaisir. Merci beaucoup.
And that's a wrap. Thank you so much for tuning into the Essential Shift podcast today. I hope you enjoyed it. Please subscribe, leave a review, and even give it a shout out on social media. You can find me at essential.shift on Instagram. Until next episode, blessed be.